this morning the reading is from Matthew 2, verses 13 to 23, page 966. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene."
One of the things I forgot to mention in the notices is on the front here, there are some little cards. It's got "Celebrate God" on that side, and our verse for next year, or for this year I should say, 2018, which we'll learn more about next week. On the back, there is a calendar for the year. There's only one drawback: you need to take a microscope with you to read the dates. Unless you've got 20/20 vision, and I haven't. So, if you're here Christmas Day, we did give them out. But if you didn't get one, then there are some here on the front. Do you notice that first verse that Joan read to us? When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." When they had gone, who were the they? Well, they, if you just look back a bit, were the Magi. Some of you would have, maybe a lot of you would have actually realised. They were the wise men that appeared on the scene at the start of chapter 2 of Matthew. They'd come to worship Jesus, the new King of the Jews. They had followed the star to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem. But they were told in a dream not to go back the same way that they had come, not to return to see Herod the Great. That's the Herod that's mentioned here. But so they went back a different route. And then we read that Joseph had a dream. And in this dream, an angel appears to him and tells him to go to Egypt. So the wise men, the Magi, had a dream, and they had a dream. Now let's, I want to do a little survey here, one of my little surveys. Hands up, all those who dream. All right, put hands up those who never dream. I'm glad, because scientists have said we all dream. Some people claim they never dream, but aside from those who have experienced certain kinds of brain injury, everyone dreams whenever they're asleep. It's been estimated that more than 2 hours out of each night sleep is spent dreaming or in a dreamlike state. Actually, I must confess here, I'm one of those who never remembers their dreams. So either I don't have them or I've got certain brain injuries. That was one of that, which was slightly worrying, I thought, when I read that. But I just don't remember them. But maybe we have to ask the question a slightly different. Who remembers their dream from last night? You don't have to say what they are. I know they can be, you know, a bit sensitive at times. Thank you, David. Anybody in the last week remember their dream? Last month? Well, if you were the last week and last night, you must be in the last month. So, how many of you, though, think they're a message from God? Would we take that as a message from God? Remember, in Matthew 5, in Matthew, there are dreams talked about 5 times. First one is in Matthew chapter 1. Joseph considered quite the end in their engagement to Mary. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. You then move on, Matthew 2. When it was time to leave, the Magi returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Israel. Then the one we've just read about angel coming to Joseph, and then a bit later in the passage, which we will get onto, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. And then finally, verse 22, when Joseph learned the new ruler of Judah was Herod, son of Archelaus, Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to have warned in a dream, he left. There are no other dreams mentioned in Matthew. Purely those 5 dreams in the first 2 chapters of Matthew. God creating through the medium of dream. But we don't say that now. Because we say, oh, scientists told us it's all right. We dream because dreams help sort out our brain, and they help our brain sort out the day. And if you don't dream, you go stark staring mad. That's the scientist's sort of take on it. So dreams are there and they're necessary, along with rapid eye movement that you have at the same time, REM, as it's called. But that may have been in the culture of the time of Jesus, that they said they felt God spoke in dreams. So God did speak in dreams. It would be far more difficult now for God to speak to us in a dream, because we wouldn't put it down to God. We put it down to perhaps the, you know, the gorgonzola cheese and pickled onions that we had the night before. Yeah, so you know, God sometimes uses the cultures of the day. Today, God might use the Bible. Some people I know do have visions about what God is saying to them. You might use fellow Christians, prophecy, prayer. It's not to rule out and never say God doesn't speak to us in this way. Sadly, we are often deaf to his communications. Might be better. I keep hearing the wind rustling. But to hear God, we do need to have time with him. Bible study, prayer. And not prayer where we're always monopolizing the conversation. We need to give him time to speak to us. Maybe it might mean sitting down in a comfy chair and meditating on some words of scripture with some soft music playing in the background. You might then wake up 2 hours later, but ask God to speak and then listen. Be open to him in 2018. So Joseph is told by an angel in a dream to go to Egypt. Now that does bring up another question. How did he know it was an angel? Who's this? Who's that a picture or representation of? Any guesses? Oh well. It's actually called a Veronica. It's from something called a Veronica. Does that help? No. A lady was sainted by the early church called Veronica, Saint Veronica, and she is supposedly, as Jesus was going along to his death on the cross, she rubbed his cloth over his face. And that cloth is called a Veronica, and it has something like that, not quite as the of Jesus. Normally when we see a picture of Jesus, we go, that's Jesus, because especially in, you know, European paintings, because they always look the same. So you don't have to be told it's Jesus, you just know it's Jesus. But that's a cultural thing, again. A bit like, maybe Joseph had an image in his brain of what an angel looked like. You know, white, glowy, big wings, big voice. We don't know. But obviously there was a cultural norm about what an angel looked like. Otherwise Joseph would not have known it was a message from God. But the message says, get up, take the child and his mother, verse 13, escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod's going to search for the child to kill him. Two instructions. One, move the whole family to Egypt. Two, stay there till I tell you. You have to remember, by the time Joseph has had this dream, he and Mary and Jesus could be quite well established in Bethlehem. It's at least a month after the birth of Jesus, because they've already been to the temple, and that was 30 days after the birth, to give their sacrifice, and they met Simeon and Anna. So, and it could be anywhere up to 2 years, because of the decree that Herod made about killing all 2-year-olds and under. Joseph could have established his carpentry trade, started his little business to make money so that they could live and feed. They were, it seemed they were housed in a house. So it would be quite an upheaval to go from where they were making new friends, perhaps meeting old members of the family, because of course Joseph came from, his family came from Bethlehem. Maybe even with Zachariah and Elizabeth and John, who became John the Baptist, getting friends with them. But then they're told to move. And I'm thinking, why didn't God just protect them? Because he could have done. He's God. He's God Almighty. He can do anything. The answer is we don't really know. Jesus was there, he was to be crucified. And he was crucified. But another time we read in his life, there was a big crowd baying for blood, and he just walked through them. Nobody touched him. We don't know. As Christians, we're not promised we won't have difficult times. It says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The bad times are there, but we've got God, his staff and his rod are there beside us to comfort us. For Joseph, he's told to go to Egypt. Now I wonder what he thought about Egypt. Because can anybody hazard a guess as to how far it is from Bethlehem to the Egyptian border? Because we often think about these things, you know, that he got on, you know, he had this vision, this dream, the angel walked out the house, an hour later, there he was in Egypt. Which is what we do.
80.
Well, it depends. If you Google If you Google Bethlehem to Egypt, it says it is 429 miles. Now, do a quick calculation. If you're travelling at 30 miles an hour, how many hours would that take you to get there? 429 divided by 30? Sorry? 40, yeah. We'll knock off the decimal point at the end. 14 hours. Transpose that to days, and that's how long it would take Joseph and Mary, because you travelled about 30 miles a day. But the border of Egypt now is further away from Bethlehem than what it was. It's actually only about 40 miles away. So it's just over a day's journey. But as he left in the middle of the night, as he left at night time, they may have got there in one day. Because it says in verse 14, he got up, Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. So he probably did it in one day. But then of course they had to find somewhere in Egypt to live, to settle down, perhaps started up his carpentry business again. In a foreign land, among strangers, with a young child. Now my parents, in the whole of their life, well their married life, they lived in one caravan for 4 years, and then they lived in two houses. My mother lived in the last house she was in for 46 years. Anybody here lived where they have lived for more than 50 years? Has Cliff been there with you, Maggie, as well, or not? Yeah. Maggie went like that, and Cliff was going... Joke. But yeah, but others of you, I know in Congay, you know, you sort of move at the drop of a hat. You know, just, yeah, we're moving next week. Oh, right. The people book can't keep up with you. Some more people, we're all different. We're all different. But Joseph had been told by God to go to Egypt. He goes there. But what I don't get the impression is that Joseph went in to Mary at this time and said, oh, by the way, an angel's told me to move to Egypt because Herod wants to kill Jesus. Do you know what we should, do, do you think? And we don't get that discussion. It's just God has said, we do. We do. They were dedicated their whole lives to God. So they did not just words, they did deeds. So often, our dedication, our commitment can be words, but it doesn't come across as deeds. Earlier, we said this, you know, attending worship, participating in church, personal prayer and Bible study. And it went on with all these different things that we said out loud that we were going to do as part of our rededication. The easiest bit is saying them. The harder bit is actually keeping them. With Joseph and Mary, there was no difference. What was said, they did. And our deeds, remember, will always speak far louder than our words. We go forward with God. God goes forward with us, but does he always know that we're going forward with him? Are we, am I, really dedicated, committed to God? And about what he wants for me, and about what he wants me to do? Herod the Great dies, but not before he has had all the boys 2 years old and under killed. Again, numbers. Yeah, I like maths, I like numbers. I was quite astounded looking into it. How many boys were killed? Because I had the impression it was a huge number. But apparently the population of Bethlehem could have been no more than 1,000. Some people even think it was down to 300. But 1,000, somebody's worked, you know, these statisticians work out these figures. And somebody's worked out that that means there were less than 20 boys under the age of 2 and under who were killed that day in Bethlehem. Because that would be the only number of people in Bethlehem of that age. Now, it's still awful, and it's still wrong, but it's not the sort of picture I had of, you know, the sort of streets littered with lots of dead bodies. In actual fact, it was so small in those days that it wouldn't have even gone onto the radar, because King Herod was under, Herod the Great was under the Roman authorities, and it would not have filtered back, and it was quite mild by what he did. Apparently he killed 3 members of his family because he got a bit paranoid and thought they might grab the throne. He also went into places and killed people who he thought might be plotting against him. And that was up to several hundred. So 30, up to 20 was hardly anything. So it didn't appear on the radar. But he dies. And Herod the Great, his country is split up and given out to his children. And Judea, the place, the southern part, is given over to Herod Archelaus. He's actually not much better than his father. And in the end, he's deposed because he misruled so much. Joseph has another dream. Dream, go back to Israel. Now, we don't know how long after his arrival this dream was. Could have been a few weeks, few months, few years. And again, we read in verse 21, Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and they went back to the land of Israel. No arguments. No ifs or buts. He just gets up, pulls the family together, leaves whatever they have there behind them, and go off to Israel. Remember, they're travelling, then they're on route number 5 now. 40 miles back to Bethlehem from the border, and in fact, another 60 miles to go up to Nazareth. So it'd be a 3 or 4 day trip that they would be on. So, because they had to move, remember, from Bethlehem up to Nazareth. Back to Nazareth for Joseph and Mary, the place where Jesus could grow up in relative safety. Joseph and Mary had dedicated their lives to God, and they had followed him. No lip service here. Their actions spoke volumes. They would be greeted back in Nazareth by the family that they had left all those years ago. Why have you come back, Joseph? Because God told me to. Because God told me to. His life was centered around God. They knew that God was speaking to them. Do we live that close to God that we hear his voice? Remember, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold, referring to Gentiles as opposed to Jews. I must bring them also. They too listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. We can differentiate voices. Over Christmas, I was with my grandchildren and their parents. And occasionally we would hear, we were all sat in the lounge having an adult discussion, talk, and we would hear a cry from another room. And you could see us all, we all used to stop. And then the cry would happen again. And we all knew who it was just by not even speaking. It was just the sort of cry that went up. But do we know God that well? That we know his voice and we listen to it? We should be able to. It's what we've dedicated ourselves to this morning. Joseph and Mary obeyed when God spoke to them. Listening's never enough. Lip service is not sufficient. Again, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. The one who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Obedience is the key. It's no good being able to quote the whole Bible. We need to live it out in our lives. It's no good, in a way, listening to God if when he speaks we ignore what he says. Because it's too awkward. It doesn't fit in with my life. I'd have to put myself out. I'd have to sacrifice something. It's not in my timetable. But if I'm dedicated to God, fully committed to him, would all these things make a difference? A few years ago now, I heard the story of a missionary. It was in the days when there wasn't planes flying everywhere. And this missionary had come back to England. And while he was there, his mother told him she was very ill and she was not going to have that long to live. But unfortunately, his visa was only short. So he was put in a dilemma. If he stayed at home with his mum, he would find it difficult to go back to where he was being used by God. But if he went back, he knew he would never see his mother again. His mother actually made the decision for him and said, I know it's going to be difficult, but you need to go back. That's where God has placed you for your work. And I know God is with me here. She was a Christian lady as well. There was pain at their parting. There were tears. But they knew. That they both knew they were doing what God had said. Now, none of us, you may be. You may not be in that position. But think about your situation, your position. Because we shall be having a time of response after we've sung our next song and before we sing our last one. And our next song has these lines in the chorus. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. here I am, wholly available. I will serve the Lord. That's the chorus. Again, easy words to say, but if we're saying it from the heart, then we're dedicating our lives again to God. But that requires more than just words. Let's stand to sing.